Welcome back to the Deep Dive. You know, we're all about getting you up to speed on some pretty complex topics, and we try to do it without making your head spin.
We like to think we deliver the core knowledge without the fluff.
Exactly. And today, we're diving into something that's both universal and deeply personal. Fear. But we're not talking about the obvious kind of fear, the kind that makes you jump out of your skin when you see a spider or you're watching a horror movie.
Right. We're talking about that subtle but pervasive sense of fear that can creep up on you even when everything seems okay on the surface. You know that feeling,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, definitely. Like, your heart starts racing, your palms get all sweaty, but you can't quite put your finger on what's triggering it.
Exactly. And recent research is starting to uncover what might be going on in our brains when we experience this kind of free-floating fear.
And we're going to break down some really fascinating work from neurobiologists at UC San Diego. Their findings were highlighted in an article from Davenport Psychology, a practice that specializes in treating anxiety and fear-related conditions.
They're really on the cutting edge of applying this research to clinical practice.
Yeah, and that's what we're going to unpack today. We'll explore the neural mechanisms behind this phenomenon of fear without a clear and present danger. We'll talk about what it means for our understanding of mental well-being and how this research is being used to develop new treatment approaches. So, if you're ready to dive deep into the science of fear, let's get started.
I'm ready when you are.
Okay, so let's start with the basics. How does fear actually work in the brain? I mean, we all know what it feels like, but what's happening at a neurological level?
Well, to understand fear, we need to talk about neurotransmitters. These are the chemical messengers that neurons or brain cells use to communicate with each other.
Right. They're like the tiny little postal workers of the brain delivering messages from one cell to another.
Exactly. And when it comes to fear, two of the most important neurotransmitters are glutamate and GABA. You can think of them as kind of like the gas pedal and the brake pedal in your car.
Okay, I like that analogy. So glutamate is the gas pedal revving up the nervous system. What about GABA?
GABA is the brake pedal, helping to calm things down. It's all about maintaining a balance between excitation and inhibition.
So when we're feeling afraid, is it that our glutamate levels are too high or our GABA levels are too low?
It can be a bit of both, actually. But what's particularly interesting is that recent research, like that UC San Diego study we mentioned, suggests that stress can actually cause neurons to switch the type of chemical signal they send.
Wait, so a neuron that normally releases GABA could start releasing glutamate instead?
Exactly. And that can have a pretty significant impact on how our brains process information and respond to our environment.
Wow, so stress isn't just something we feel emotionally. It can actually change the way our brains are wired, at least temporarily.
Right. And the UC San Diego study found that this kind of stress-induced switch in neurotransmitter signaling can lead to what they call generalized fear responses.
Generalized fear responses. What does that mean exactly?
It basically means that your brain's threat detection system becomes overly sensitive. It starts firing off alarm bells even when there's no real danger present.
So it's like our brains are stuck in fight or flight mode even when we're sitting in a safe and comfortable environment.
Precisely. And that can lead to a lot of the symptoms we associate with anxiety. The racing heart, the sweating, the feeling of impending doom.
That makes a lot of sense. So it's not just about the actual threats we face. It's also about how our brains are interpreting those threats. And stress can really mess with that interpretation.
Absolutely. And to understand how this plays out in the brain, we need to talk about specific brain regions involved in processing fear and stress.
Okay, let's go there. What are some of the key players?
Well, the UC San Diego study highlighted the interplay between two brain regions in particular, the dorsal raft and the ventrolateral geniculate nucleus, or VLGN for short.
Okay, those are some mouthful names. Can you break them down for us?
Sure. Let's start with the dorsal raft. It's a small but mighty structure located in the brainstem, and it plays a big role in regulating mood, sleep, and how we respond to stress.
So it's kind of like our mood control center.
You could say that. It's involved in the production and release of serotonin, a neurotransmitter that's often associated with feelings of well-being and calmness.
Okay, so when the dorsal raft's functioning properly, we're more likely to feel happy and relaxed.
In general, yes. But when we experience stress, the activity of the dorsal raft can be disrupted, which can affect our mood and our ability to cope with challenging situations.
Right, so stress throws off our mood control center. And what about that other brain region, the VLGN?
So the VLGN is part of the thalamus, which is a relay station for sensory information in the brain. The VLGN specifically is involved in processing visual information. It receives input from the eyes and then sends that information onto the visual cortex, where it's interpreted and made sense of.
So it's like the sorting office for everything we see.
Exactly. And what's really interesting is that under stressful conditions, the communication between the dorsal raft and the VLGN can become altered.
Wait, so our mood control center and our visual processing center are talking to each other, and stress can mess with that conversation.
That's right. And that altered communication can actually influence how the VLGN processes visual information.
How so?
Well, imagine that the dorsal raft under stress is sending out a subtle be on alert signal to the VLGN. That signal can make the VLGN more likely to interpret even neutral visual input as potentially threatening.
So it's not that we're seeing things that aren't there, but more that our brains are primed to see danger where there might not be any.
Exactly. It's like wearing those rose-colored glasses, but instead of everything looking rosy, everything starts to look a little bit more menacing.
That's a really helpful way to think about it. So even if we're not consciously aware of feeling stressed, our brains might still be interpreting our surroundings in a more threatening way.
Precisely. And that brings us to the concept of generalized fear, which the Davenport Psychology article emphasizes.
Right. We touched on that earlier. So it's not about a specific fear of a spider or heights, but more of an overall sense of unease or anxiety.
Exactly. It's like this background hum of fear that's always present, even when there's no obvious trigger.
And the article suggests that past traumatic experiences can contribute to this generalized fear. How does that fit into all of this?
Well, trauma can have a lasting impact on our brains and bodies. It can sensitize our stress response systems, making us more reactive to even minor stressors.
So even if a traumatic event happened years ago, our brains might still be reacting as if it's happening right now.
In a way, yes. Trauma can leave these invisible scars on our nervous system, making us more prone to fear and anxiety, even in safe situations. And that's where the UC San Diego study's findings about those neurotransmitter switches become really relevant.
Okay, I see the connection. So if acute stress can cause temporary shifts in neurotransmitters, it's possible that chronic stress or trauma could lead to more permanent changes.
Right, and those changes could essentially hardwire our brains for generalized fear.
Wow, so this isn't just about willpower or positive thinking. There are actual biological processes at play that can make it incredibly difficult to shake that feeling of fear.
Exactly. And that's why understanding the neuroscience of fear is so important, especially for mental health.
Right, because it helps us move away from blaming people for their anxiety and towards developing more effective treatment.
Exactly. And that's something that Davenport Psychology is really focused on. They're using this research to inform their treatment approaches for conditions like PTSD, anxiety disorders, and phobias.
And the article mentions that they use evidence-based techniques to help people manage and overcome their fears. What are some examples of those techniques?
Well, they mentioned cognitive behavioral therapy, or CBT.
Right, CBT. That's a type of therapy that helps people identify and change negative thought patterns.
Right. They might also use exposure therapy, which involves gradually exposing people to the things they fear in a safe and controlled environment.
So kind of like facing your fears head on, but with the support of a therapist.
Exactly. And they also emphasize the importance of stress management techniques like mindfulness and relaxation exercises.
So it's about addressing the underlying biological factors that contribute to fear, but also giving people the tools to manage their emotional responses.
Absolutely. And the article even includes a quote from Dr. Charles R. Davenport, the founder of Davenport Psychology. He says, and I quote, "Understanding the neural mechanisms behind fear can significantly improve our therapeutic approaches. At Davenport Psychology, we integrate the latest research findings into our practice to provide the best care for our clients."
That's a powerful statement. It really highlights how this kind of research can translate into real-world benefits for people who are struggling.
It does. It shows that we're moving beyond simply managing symptoms to actually targeting the root causes of fear and anxiety.
And that's incredibly hopeful. So for our listeners who might be dealing with fear or anxiety, what's the key takeaway from all of this?
I'd say the key takeaway is this. Fear is a complex emotion that involves a delicate interplay of neurochemicals and brain regions. And while it serves an important evolutionary purpose, this fear system can sometimes become dysregulated, leading to feelings of fear and anxiety that don't match the reality of our situation.
Right. So it's not a weakness or a personal failing. It's a matter of understanding how our brains are wired and how stress and trauma can impact that wiring.
Exactly. And the more we understand about the neuroscience of fear, the better equipped we are to develop effective treatments and help people reclaim their lives.
Absolutely. And the research we've been talking about today, particularly that UC San Diego study, offers a really promising window into those neural mechanisms. It's helping us see how stress can literally change the way our brains communicate, priming us for fear even when we're safe.
Right. And if you're interested in learning more about Davenport Psychology and the evidence-based treatments they offer, they've provided a contact number, 941-702-2457.
That's a great resource for anyone who wants to explore professional help for fear or anxiety.
It is. And as we wrap up, I think it's worth leaving our listeners with this thought. If stress can so profoundly impact our brains, making us more vulnerable to fear, even in safe situations, what steps can we take to proactively manage stress in our daily lives?
That's a great question to ponder. What can we do to create more inner peace and resilience so we're less likely to fall prey to that generalized fear?
Right, because while we can't always control the external stressors in our lives, we can learn to cultivate a sense of calm and well-being from within.
And that's a journey worth embarking on. So, as always, thank you for joining us on The Deep Dive. We hope this exploration of the science of fear has been informative and empowering.
And perhaps even a little bit inspiring.
Exactly. Until next time, stay curious.
And stay brave.